All right, so I have 5:27. And call a meeting to order. So no public comments, so we can move right into the good stuff. So Jessica, if you wouldn't mind introducing Greg and Dory, and we'll start with their presentation.
Very good. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure this evening to introduce to the board Greg Hatch, our historian and curator, and Dory Olivos, who is our adult services manager. I had the pleasure yesterday of having a tour with Greg through all of the Cowan Pottery exhibits and got to pick his brain a little bit. He's a wealth of information, and we're looking forward to hearing from Greg and Dory this evening. So take it away.
Thank you. I'll go first. Okay. All right. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. I know we're supposed to have a little brevity this evening, so I'm just going to highlight a few things from last year that stood out a lot and some new things that we're starting to do for next year. So we do have one new staff person since last year, Adeliza Hoftmauer, who is our supervisor in the department, and she was the children's librarian. She was a children's librarian at Shaker, as well as interim director of children's at Shaker for a short period of time. She has turned into a great supervisor. She's great at scheduling, which is one of her main responsibilities, even though it's kind of boring, but she likes it and she does it well. And she's also, she's a very kind, empathetic person, so she's very good with the staff and has been a good support for the staff. And she's got a lot of good practical advice for me as well. So we're a good team. So far, so good. We do have a few new services. As part of our exchange area where the puzzles are, we did add game exchange and craft corner. We're a little low on crafts right now, so if you have any craft kits hanging out at home, bring them on in and put them in the craft corner for us. But it's been very popular. We are adding to our non-traditional circulating collections. So we have a slide scanner right now that Greg had initiated, that we put into the collection last year. We call it our And More collection. And you could thank Greg for that pithy title. And we are going to add some craft kits. I think we have about 7 or 8 craft kits, like weaving looms, knitting needles, things like that, that people can take home and practice. They will include some directions and resources that the library has, so it will refer people to Creative Bug, as well as books and things that we have related to those crafts. And one of our goals for next year is to kind of expand that collection. So we're looking into memory kits for adults and probably have some other things up our sleeves, but we haven't finalized that yet. That's one of the goals that we're going to work on for 2024. So as far as programming goes, we've had a bunch of successful programs this year, lots of big ones, and adult services has been very integral to managing some of those. So Linnea did a lot with the summer reading kickoff. Shannon and Christine, Shannon was the manager, the whole team that did Pride Fest, and Christine was very helpful with that as well. Samana and I just did the multicultural festival, which was a lot of fun. And Christine basically did the band book readathon, which was awesome and fun, and we had a good, great time. Some of our other programs continue to be super successful. History talks that Greg does, Riverinos, we have a lot of other craft-related programs, food programs, and Spice Club, for some reason, is always a hit. And we're having a Spice Club potluck in December, so I'm excited about that. Megan has done a really great job this year collaborating with Lutheran West. We have had the National History Day presentation practice at our library in the past, and we're going to do that again this year. Summer reading teen participation went up this year, which was great. She changed it from books read to minutes read, which I think helped teens feel more comfortable and added a few more numbers to our stats, which was awesome. We've also been trying to grow some of our inclusive programming. We have the big ones like Pride Fest, but we also were partnering with the Cuyahoga County Board of Developmental Disabilities, who have given us a very generous grant. And we've had some programs with them. Tonight, Greg and I are doing, well, Greg's doing a program, a ceramics program as part of that series. We have a representative. She's a works with the County Board of Developmental Disabilities. Her name is Bridget Balo, but she comes to these programs and kind of serves as an intermediary. So it's a good experience for her, and it's great for us as well. We have had ASL practice continues. We have some ASL instruction programs last year with a professor from CASE. She's going to do Zoom ASL instruction this year. We'll see how that works. Samanar has worked with the ESL, ELL teachers in the schools to kind of have some conversational practice groups. I'd really like to expand that somewhat. We've tried doing some ESL, but it's challenging to find a teacher that will do it, but we're working on it. Let's see. We have two new service online kind of database services. We now have access to the New York Times. So if you're in the building here, you put the app on your phone and you can read the New York Times, or you can open up your computer and read the New York Times if you want to. At home, there are 24-hour codes, so you put a code in and get it for 24-hour access. That includes cooking and games, which everybody's happy about, and I think called the Athletic, and the one that does the consumer evaluations, Wirecutter, I believe. We also, in January, started something called the Library Speakers Consortium. I don't know if anybody's aware of that, but they are kind of a group that pools library resources from many libraries, and then they offer 2 to 3 discussions a month of authors who are bigger names that we wouldn't necessarily be able to afford. And they do it online. You can register in advance for them, or you can watch them after the fact. So we've had about 875 participants in that so far this year, so that's been great.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I think I've missed some things, I'm sure, but does anybody have questions? I just kind of picked a few things to highlight so I would be faster this time around.
There's so much that you do.
Yeah.
There's so much in that area. So I love, and that you're even expanding. It's been really impressive
to see
the outreach on what you're doing.
The growth is really
impressive.
It's fun. We have a lot of creative people who are always trying to think of new and different, you know, ways to reach the community. Mm-hmm. Our goals for next year, one of the new initiatives in the library is having department goals. We had done one last year, which was our craft corner, and then this year our goal in general is to bring people back in the library. So our three things that we're doing are expanding kind of those kits, doing kind of non-traditional circulating things. Having more trivia programming, actually. I think we're going to try to do like a monthly trivia where each one of us does a trivia program just for fun, see if we can kind of create a group that comes all the time. And then we're looking into, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it, like pods that you can sit in and have like a meeting or something like that. We're going to do some research around it and see what other libraries are doing. Mm-hmm. And develop some policies and procedures around that. So
that's great.
That's what we
got. I would just like to add, on top of what the other ladies have said, mm-hmm. I have participated in a number of things as I have sought to get to know some other programming in the library that I hadn't participated in before. And I've had so much fun doing it. Everybody to a person has been fantastic. And even more than me having fun, the community is having fun, and
yeah.
I've just been so impressed.
Thank you.
And so, well done.
I will pass that on. Now on to Greg.
Also, Dory, I just want to say thank
yeah.
you for your reports. I look forward to them every month. They're comprehensive. I learn something new almost every time that I read one, so thank you for the time you spend on those.
I try to include everybody's efforts.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good job.
So with the Cowan Museum, I'm actually going to start with the end of last year. In December of 2022, we completed our 5-year rotation of appraisal of our Cowan objects. That was completed, and all of our database has been updated with the updated insurance information. We are also planning to actually do an appraisal of all non-Cowan art objects that we have in our collection. It actually has been 12 years since we've done that, so this will update insurance information. Also, a lot of times these would be opportunities for us to see if any artwork is in need of repair or addressing any issues. and that will be conducted in the following year. We had our first visiting exhibit, at least that I have done myself, with the Thelma Fraser exhibit that has been here for the past year, primarily with objects on loan from the Weston Reserve Historical Society's collection, as well as two independent donors, or lenders. Additionally, we, with that exhibit, have added a new display case, which is across from the community case, which that case is really going to be great to show some of the larger objects that we haven't been able to showcase in our collection, just because of the limitations of the shelves and all the lighting, which actually does bring me to our next year exhibit, which is going to be Let There Be Light, Candlesticks and Lamp Bases from the Cowan Pottery Studio. With the new case, we are gonna actually, because we do actually have a few complete lamps, so we do have some 1920 shades and lamps that we'll actually be able to have set up, which is just really nice because it's nice to bring it back to these objects being in use because that was their original purpose. That will be going throughout 2024, and we have different programming that will be going on related to it. History talks, we're gonna have a scholar on Tiffany lamps. We are going to have additionally some crafts that are actually geared towards it. We'll be making candles in the spring. And additionally, we are going to have an opening on February 15th. We are going to have an opening for the exhibit that will be from 6 to 8, and that will actually also have live music by Hip to That, a jazz trio. So we've asked them to do some music that is contemporary to the studio, but also they do combine it with some of their takes on contemporary pieces as well. And then also we are shifting our programming to more aligned with what the rest of the library does. So have more spread out, even programming throughout the year. So that way we can kind of have continuous engagement. We are increasing the number of history talks because of their popularity. We do have 4 this upcoming spring, and we're hoping to continue that. And it's just also because of feedback from individuals who've just mentioned they really enjoy a lot of the local history and the history programs that we've been able to offer. And also, we are in the process of rehousing all of our archives, which means we are taking them from their current storage location and putting them in archival storage boxes, as well as taking that time working with Liz Piazza from Support Services. And we are cataloging and creating finding guides. So this will actually allow researchers to be able to search our collection. And we already have in place procedure for requests. So that way folks can actually see what we have from past researchers, past curators, even the past directors in their independent research. And so they can use that for their own scholarship. And one last thing is that I'm hopefully going to be wrapping up the long-term loan abandoned object project, which it's when I come and say, we've had these pieces for X amount of time, and yes. we have sent out 2 notices in our newspapers, which is in line with the Ohio Revised Code. That will actually expire on February 17th. In which case those will proceed with the not appraisal, accession process. Yep. Make sure that we can also update all the records. I've been working with Trent and also Krista, who've been really amazing with trying to get that set up, because the amount of public notices that are required, and we have to have it specifically timed to just make sure that it's all aligned. Any questions?
You've been busy.
One of the things I was thinking the other day is, how do you do continuing education as a museum curator?
Oh, so a lot of times it sort of, there's kind of 2 sides of it, because since I'm also doing the historian side of it, I've also been re-engaging with my genealogy skills. Since the retirement of an RSF member, I've taken over genealogy and offering that kind of thing to expand our history and genealogy services. But additionally, in regards to how we catalog and how we actually create metadata, we have to continuously kind of update to new standards, just like how we do with the library catalog. It doesn't happen terribly often. I think, what, Peter, the last time it was, what, 2012? It got a huge overhaul, was probably the biggest one. Yeah. So just making sure to maintain that and making sure that we're also keeping up with our outreach and our interpretation. A big thing about what I do is those tours, which really falls underneath that interpretation aspect of the museum, where we are taking our collection and presenting it in conversation with contemporary events, as well as its legacy within the context of the time it was made and what it has led to right now. So a lot of that. I'm also trying to also just be a little bit more well-versed in archival metadata, just because I want to make sure that we're able to make our catalog incredibly user-friendly. And that really comes to having to revisit some of the skills I maybe haven't used in a little bit.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that you're taking a look at our programming, so it's education throughout the year, so people are informed of what this collection is about and how that ties into the history of our library and our community. To me, that's great. So it's not just a one shot, it's like continual. I love your ideas on this and what you're gonna be doing. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, and, we'll also have the Western Reserve Historical Society's having an exhibit called Fashion After Dark, which actually looks at how fashion was affected by the electrification of the United States. And they're going to be presenting in April? No. May. They're going to be presenting in May. and they'll be, so that'll be in correspondence with their exhibit and also what we have here.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, I like the fact that there's entry points for new explorers into Cowan Pottery. Like before it was the entry point was high. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So now like these events throughout the year make it that someone who doesn't know anything about it can join in and become part of that.
It's a really good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And the partnerships that you're developing are so valuable. That they get our collection seen more, their collection seen more. It's really nice to see those partnerships.
And that really has, the one amazing thing is that we have the plethora of libraries we have here, we have so many institutions and museums. So being part of the professional organizations we are in the museum world really helps in regards to seeing how our collections intertwine and connect. Mm-hmm. Just because so much of what we have is in conversation with the Cleveland Museum of Art, mm-hmm. the Western Reserve Historical Society, and then each of the individuals went off with their own career and had individual impacts.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
Good work.
Thank you. This is always one of our favorite times, is to be able to get this insight into what all is going on in the library. As Jenny said, the reports, you know, the monthly reports are wonderful, but just thank you for taking the time to talk with us. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And feel free to go on to your evening. You may stay if you would like, but we offer that up if you'd like.
We appreciate it. I'm solo at the desk tonight. We have a program also.
Best of luck in your program.
We do have five open, so if you'd like to make a ceramic
bird
wall pocket. That will be fired in a kiln.
It'll be tonight at 7.
And tomorrow as well.
Tomorrow at 10.
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right, so next, let's go on to the approval of the September 27th minutes. Any questions or comments? Okay, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
All right, thanks, Jenny. Second?
Second.
All right, thanks, Stacy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you. All right, Fiscal Officer and Finance Committee report. Cindy and Will.
We met on Monday. I went through the financials, and I'm just going to turn it right over to Will, who can summarize them.
Sure. So let my written report speak for itself. A couple additional notes to that. We're through September here in the numbers you're looking at. We have $9.5 million in total funds on hand. Now, that's cash on hand, so that's not necessarily where we're going to end, obviously. We have some encumbrances as well, things we're going to spend. So unencumbered dollars, though, we're still at $8.8 million, which is like $400,000 more than last year. So I'm working now on a forecast as we get into budgeting, and also more of a long-term forecast, which Jenny also brought up in the meeting, of wanting to see that as part of this, so we were on the same page, because I was sort of working on that anyway. So, but just looking quickly ahead, I mean, this year I think we're going to crack probably $5.2 million in total revenue. A big part of that being interest income is much higher than it's been in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And we're basically, in terms of expenditures, on the same pace as last year. So if you look at the year over year in the general fund financial statement, you can see last year's year-to-date actual. Total expenses are about the same as last year. Now, I think it's going to tick up a little bit towards the end of the year here. But still, if we end at about $4.7, $4.8 million in total expenditures, we'll still end the year in a surplus, which is better than what we budgeted, right? Now, that's a total surplus. $525,000 was moved out of the general fund into the capital fund. So we would show a general fund deficit, but that's because we move money from one fund to another. So from an operations standpoint, we would have a surplus. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Which is good, right? It's much better than what we budgeted. We were really conservative in the budget, and I think there was some big numbers in there. Really, revenue has really outperformed what we thought, and we've done well in keeping expenditures to this point favorable to budget. So both of those things combined are good things, right? So that's gonna contribute to this. I also yesterday attended a fiscal officer training. It's really for villages, townships, and then special districts, which include libraries. So not everything kind of pertained directly to libraries, but it was worth the trip.
Okay.
It was a full day training out in Twinsburg. Multiple presentations about forecasting was one of them, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Give me some pointers as I'm working through something currently. There was a lot of stuff about ransomware, which we spoke about a little bit in our meeting, and about fraud and like how public entities are exposed to fraudulent activity, particularly potentially by employees, was what came up most frequently, which was, basically theft is how it worked out. Like fraudulently posting an invoice and then taking hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff to their home. It was pretty amazing, actually, that this person got away with this. But, they didn't get away with it because there was a whistleblower. But they would have, because it was just the way that the internal controls were, just a couple of quick oversights, and it bloomed really quickly. So anyway, it was very interesting. That's really it.
Okay.
In addition to my written report, of course, I'll take
Okay, this is not probably.
It's ACSB and I can't answer the question.
It's a totally random question. We are fine free. I understand if somebody loses or another institution loses materials, but we seem to have a lot more fines this year than were budgeted or for prior years. And I was just curious.
Yeah, it's. I know that the title of that category is misleading, fines and fees.
Okay.
A lot of it is, it's passport revenue, it's printer revenue,
okay.
Like it's all lumped kind of into that, fines and fees. So it's probably more fees than fines.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Passports have like really, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but for that specific category, but they've really outperformed than in prior years. And I'm
because they bounced right back. Passports are up to where they were
Yeah.
pre-pandemic. Yeah.
So that's what makes up that gap.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So any other awesome questions or comments?
I have one other question, which is, did you have any update on laddered CDs or commercial paper press?
No, I brought that up in the meeting too. I haven't nailed down the day, but I do have a fourth quarter meeting that I want to have with Brian. Kind of gone back and forth. It's going to be before Thanksgiving. I just don't know. We don't know exactly what the day is.
Look forward to hearing that next meeting.
Yeah. Well, last thing that I'll point out, I guess, is that the money has been moved. I brought this up in finance as well. The money has been moved from the meter account into our Star Ohio account now. You still will see the meter accounts at the next meeting, because that's the October financials. And part of that is because I have to move the interest, which I think I brought up in the meeting as well. It's like $8,900 left in interest in the meter account. That has to be moved to Star Ohio. Because at the time of the initial move, they hadn't posted the interest yet. So I have to call again to have them move that. They're aware of it. They know that I'm closing the account. It's just, I have to call.
So next month we'll see additional bank.
Yeah, no right. Report. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. May I have a motion to approve the September 2023 financial statements?
So moved.
Thanks, Cindy, and I can second it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passes. Thank you. So may I have a motion to approve the September 2023 gift report? It is a zero balance.
So moved.
I'll second.
Thanks, Melissa and Jenny. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passes. Thank you. All right, so next item has to do with Resolution 06-2023, requesting advances of funds from the county fiscal officer.
Real quick overview, I mean, this is a formality. They, you know, the real estate taxes, there's advances and settlements. This is just saying, can you advance us the funds? They do it, it's a formality. They're gonna advance it to us, basically.
Thanks. Any questions? No one? Okay. So this is going to be a roll call. So we'll do a motion second and then roll call. So may I have a motion to approve Resolution 06-2023 requesting the advances of funds from the county fiscal officer?
So moved.
Thanks, Stacy. You want to second it? Thank you. All right. Let's do a roll call. Okay. Ms. Fisher?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Gaynor?
Yes.
Ms. Ginn?
Yes.
All right. James is yes. Dave is absent. Ms. Schaefer?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Stickney?
Yes.
All right. So it passes. Thank you. All right. So we move on to Jessica's first director's report.
Oh, thank you so much, Jill. I'm really pleased to be here tonight and to give you a few highlights from my report that you've seen. I began on October 2nd, and it has been such a warm welcome. It's been very organized in terms of my onboarding. The board, you've been wonderful. The staff have been incredible. It's been a busy few weeks. We started off with budget meetings within my first week. I feel like those have been very illustrative for me in terms of what we're spending our time and our resources and our finances on. And it's been a great way for me to get to know each of the departments and the managers and the priorities that they have. As you know, Dory and Greg spoke to tonight, we have a really creative staff that are always looking for new ways to reach out to the community. So it's been great to get a chance to meet with them, hear their proposals. They bring lots of data to the table in terms of ways in which they want to support their budget as we move forward. We also had our annual staff day on October 9th, and I had my first chance to address the entire staff, and it was a really incredible day, very informational in tone. We had presenters from Ohio Deferred Comp 457, some videos from OPERS about benefits, and we had the group kind of broken up in terms of where they are in their career and their retirement goals. And we also had a presentation from EASE, that provide our employee assistance program, all one, and it's a very robust program, so it was an opportunity for folks to ask questions about ways in which they can get support through All One and Ease in regards to financial literacy, health advocacy, and their own mental health counseling. So it was a really good session, very informative. And I had a box set up at registration where the staff could ask me anything. So I was willing to take, you know, the easy softball questions and some of the harder hitting questions about where we are and where we're moving forward to and kind of what my vision is for us here together at RRPO. It was a really fun time. I feel like we had a sense of camaraderie as we got to have lunch together and enjoy the presentation. So that was really great in week two. Will and I also met with the directors of the 9 public library systems in Cuyahoga County. It was the first time they had met with the Cuyahoga County Budget Commission since the pandemic. So it was the first meeting in almost 4 years. It was great to have Will with me, and we got a chance to kind of hear what initiatives are going on at the other 9 libraries, or the other 8 libraries in Cuyahoga County. And the commission is going through some changes. Brian Dunn announced that Robin Pitts Lynch will be the new interim budget commissioner administrator. So she has worked for the county as a fiscal office tax assessment manager, and she's going to be moving into this role as he's starting to step back. So that was great. I also just wanted to say another thank you to the RRPL Foundation. I got to attend the soiree on October 6th. For me, as a new leader in the community, it was a great time to meet library supporters from our foundation group and friends group, and it was just a beautiful event, and I felt like the library shined that night. It was great to see everyone in one space, and it was very collegial, and I think the artists enjoyed it. I did go to the follow-up meeting with the foundation, and they were very happy with the turnout and happy to having made some money in this first go-around for their fundraiser, and they're looking forward to doing some events this spring, and that was really just a great way to cap off my first week. So that's all I have for my report.
That's great. Thank you. Any questions?
Just a huge formal welcome.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to be here. I really appreciate it. One thing that was not in my report, but that I'd like to make note of, is just an update on the Heartland Cog from NFP, from Dave Lewis, that was received after the packet was put together. But I just wanted to give a brief update on that. You know, Dave had the Fireform apps combined for the 3 current Heartland Cog groups and submitted them to underwriting, and the results were not favorable as a whole. So the combined premium, even with enhanced plan designs, would have exceeded the current combined premium of the group. So there are a few large claims, and the underwriters just were not looking to take on that risk at this time. The price would not have been attractive. So he says, you know, that does not mean that this isn't a future option. He's going to continue to look at it as a renewal option for the next renewal cycle. And he's also going to be looking to recruit additional groups in order to grow the pool. So the more and relatively healthy people that are added to that pool, the better chances the rates would be more competitive. So I just wanted to give an update to that. If you have questions, I can certainly give those to Dave to field and get the answers for you for next time.
Thanks, Jessica. So I know it's been a whirlwind of a month. Jessica's had, so, and I think she's met with everyone here one-on-one even, so, which is great. So thank you. Krista, what did she peg at your crazy October? So yeah,
she was right.
Yeah. So the other items that are under the director's report, we do have the 2024 Board of Trustee meeting dates. Wanted to make sure you all had a chance to look at those and see if there are any questions.
I have a question about the August date. It's listed as Monday, August 28th.
Oh, thank you.
Should it be Wednesday, August 28th? August 28th is a Wednesday.
Yes, it should be. Good catch.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then are we changing the meeting time permanently?
Wanted to ask that. That's a good catch. So that was the other thing I wanted to ask is how would you all feel about moving that to a 5:30? Really, motivation on this is thoughtfulness of the staff that are coming mm-hmm. so that it shortens their day. So if that works for everyone, if we need to make an adjustment, let us know. I mean, you know, people are coming from jobs or wherever they are. It's like, let me know if that doesn't work. I think that's why 7 o'clock usually was put there, but would 5:30 work for people?
It's fine with me.
Okay.
Works for me.
Okay.
I would be supportive early on, but it also limits the public's opportunity. That later time was also for the public. Again, I realize we don't get a lot of people to attend, but I would just say with that caveat, if the public is interested and they're unable to, in general, we reassess it at that point.
That's a good point. Let's make sure that we can reassess it if that doesn't work for people. And Will, would that work for you? Except tax season.
I talk to my boss and find out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as always, as long as we have ample notice to post if we need to make adjustments based on people's lives, just let us know. Yeah. So, okay, may I have a motion to approve the Board of Trustees 2024 Board of Trustees meeting dates with the update for August?
So moved.
All right, thanks, Melissa. We have a second.
Second.
Okay, thanks, JC. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes. All right, and the next is the approval of the 2024 library closing dates.
There's a fun new date on there. I really like that date.
I'm going to guess what it is.
Eclipse Day.
I know. Are we all going to do something for Eclipse Day?
We had a little bit of discussion about that.
I know. Fun.
Yeah. Because the school district is closed that day.
Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did check in with the police department, and they anticipate 3 to 4 times the normal level of traffic throughout the city because we are in that path of totality. So our goal is to be able to, you know, keep staff and the public safe. And he anticipates that, you know, the police and fire, they will be kind of all hands on deck for, you know, needs throughout the city. So that was kind of a conversation that we had at that point.
I look forward to seeing what programming the library does around Eclipse Day.
Yeah.
And I hope that we don't have any clouds in the sky that day.
I know. We do plan some program. We do have some programming planned that will help in the lead up to the
Good.
Eclipse
yeah.
and get people
right.
informed and excited. So
That's great. Well, may I have a motion to approve the 2024 library closing dates?
So moved.
Thanks, Ann. Is that Stacy? Go
yeah,
for
sure.
a second. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Passes. Thank you. All right. The next one is the approval of the purchase of replacement security camera server. Any questions? I know we've seen the proposal. It's been brought forward in a couple of the committee meetings. We've talked about it. Peter or Jessica, do you have any comments you want to talk about?
So, as Jill said, you have seen this in terms of it. The quote came in higher than anticipated, but this is definitely something that we need to prioritize because we are not in compliance with the John McCain National Defense Authorization Act. The server we currently have is not one we should have. So, there is capability for an additional 10 cameras and then upgrades to our current camera viewing. But there are licensing and things that came in bringing it in at that figure of 17. There might be other things Peter might wish to add.
It's a forward-looking server. You know, it comes with a 5-year warranty. We've talked, at least in the Building Grounds Committee meeting, about putting together what that security camera upgrade plan looks like down the road. So this is the kind of server that will let us get from a 7-day storage to a 14-day storage, which is a goal, higher definition cameras, which is a goal. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that needs to be to get us there.
Yeah,
that's great.
We had a question in the Finance Committee about the licensing
annual fees. I don't know if we have any follow-up on that or if anyone's asked that question.
Yeah, so the annual fees end up being what is called in here the Care Plus licensing. It's per camera, so it depends a little bit on how many cameras we end up with at the end of the day, but I think looking at the current setup, I ran the numbers here and I didn't pull that one up, but I think it was around $740 with the current setup, and then maybe a little over $1,000 if we went with a full 10 additional, and those would be like brand new to the building cameras, not the 18 that we currently have. Yes. So
That's the annual licensing fee.
Okay. Annual licensing fee. And bringing on a new camera, there's a device fee, but that's a one-time device fee.
Good questions. Any other comments or thoughts on this one? No, thanks for all the work and the research on this. I appreciate it.
And moving so quickly. You moved really quickly.
Yeah, IPS has been very responsive. Yeah. They give us a lot of information that helps make this easy. We would anticipate ordering this, you know, within the next week or so, and then given their lead time projections, probably have it in by the end of November or early December.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Well, may I have a motion to approve the purchase of the replacement security camera server?
So moved.
Thanks, Jenny, and I can second that one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you. Let's move on to the personnel report.
Yeah, so in the personnel report, I'm happy to report that Jessica Breslin started as a director effective on October 2nd. Along with myself, Drew Gannon has taken on the position of circulation assistant manager starting October 2nd. Drew was a circulation assistant with us prior to that. He's doing an exceptional job as he's learning about his increased responsibilities. I think he and Annalise are going to make a great leadership team for that circulation department. And the only other thing to report is an adjustment of Trent Ross as he will be our deputy director continuing on effective October 2nd as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any comments or discussion? Okay. All right. I'll make a motion to approve the personnel report. May I have a second?
Second.
Sorry. All right, Cindy, go ahead. All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Aye. You opposed? All right, motion passes. Thank you. President's report, really, I think the only comment is thank you to everyone who's gotten us to this point. You know, we're 10 months in. Thank you. New director, all the changes. So I think we're positioned well for our future. Huge thank you to the foundation for what they did as well. I think a lot, you know, huge thank you to Trent and the team that worked to help with breathe some life into that. That was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. We all have had many comments and discussions on that, so mm-hmm. really appreciate that and where they are. All right, so that's it from me. Committee reports. Melissa, anything on building and grounds?
No, we have our fourth quarter meeting set for December. I don't have the exact date to mind, but it's on my Google calendar, and I know I'm pretty sure it's on Jessica's calendar as well, and yours as well. So, we look forward to having that meeting then. Right. And we're meeting once a quarter, so.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And personnel.
Yeah, so the personnel committee met. Getting updates on the grade, the updated grades and reviews for that, and some class compressions, which will appear in the budget from that, having those conversations. We also talked about we will not be doing a director's review in December, not surprisingly, from that, but we'll continue with the fiscal officer so that that's done in December.
Thanks, Anne. All right, so on with that, any new business? All right, so before we close, I'd like to make a motion and let's make sure I get the wording correct. So a motion to move into executive session to discuss the employment of a public employee. We have a motion. This will be a roll call one as well.
So moved.
Okay, thanks, Melissa and Cindy.
Second.
Okay, and
writing it down so I can help with whomever's typing notes later. And then, so Ms. Fisher?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Gaynor?
Yes.
Ms. Ginn?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a yes, James. Ms. Schaefer?
Yes.
And Ms. Stickney?
Yes.
All right. All right, so thank you. So we will move into executive session at this point.